Let me get all the equipment working here. Hey there, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, our weekly show on five stations in the Tampa Bay area, 1340 AM, 1350, 1400, and now on two AM stations for the FM for the past year, 106.1 FM and 104.3 FM. So we're glad you're joining us. Some of you may be joining us on the computer globally, and that is www.tantalknetwork.com. So good to have you with us today. I've got Nan right here on the phone, and I'm going to have Betty here in a minute. Nan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Pastor. How you doing today?
Good. And you're calling in, and that's fine. We can hear you loud and clear. All good. So, yeah.
Well, quite unusual, but yeah.
You're usually here, but circumstances have caused you to call in today, and that's all right with us. So, we're just glad that you're with us. So, great day, beautiful day in Tampa Bay, and a great day for a wonderful show that's going to be blessed by the Lord. And is that you, Betty, on the air with us too?
Yes, ma'am. That's me.
Hey, my dear.
Buddy.
Yes, that's.
Hi, Nan.
Did you hear her, Nan?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I heard you, Betty.
You know what? It seems weird that you're not right here with us, Betty, because you and Megan were last Sunday, and it was such a joy to have you guys here for 10 days. What a joy. What a lot of fun we had. I bet you're missing Florida sunshine just a tiny bit, maybe?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, she's crying, Nan. She's crying.
Yes.
I don't blame her for crying. So what is your weather in Indiana today?
Well, it was sunny, and now it's cloudy, and it's not going to get probably above 59 or 60.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
And the wind's blowing, and it's just a little bit nip.
Just a little nippy? Well,
yeah, just a little nippy.
At least it's not snowing, right?
No, that's probably tomorrow.
That's probably tomorrow.
Probably tomorrow.
I hope you guys had a safe trip back. Sounds like you did. Flew back on Friday. And, you know, it's just always so great to have you and your daughter Megan come and visit. And this time brought the baby, Zoe Grace. And sometimes you bring Andrew, too. And that's always fun. And it's just always my house feels a little small or a little empty, I guess, is the word I'm looking for when y'all leave.
Well, you know, when the Clampets come to Florida, I'm sure.
When the Clampets come to Florida, listen to her.
Yeah, we should have seen us when we arrived, trying to get all of our stuff in the little Cooper. We did. We looked like the Clampets.
Trying to get everything in my car? Yes, you did.
Yes, we did.
It's a good thing that the rental car place wasn't far away, right? That's the good thing. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the show today with both of you. And I guess Megan's joining us later on in the show. And yeah, that's really good. So all good. And it's a beautiful day here and a hot day, actually. And the last I looked, the Rays were ahead of the Houston Astros 4-3. So that's always a good day in Tampa Bay when our baseball team is ahead and winning, right? So anyway, we're looking forward to this show. It's going to be fun. And we're going to be talking about the last night before the crucifixion and the significance of that, what happened that night. And we're going to really take it further into our personal lives, how it applies to us today. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about today. I'm excited about the word, as I usually am. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I just thank you today and praise you for the ability to be on the air and to share the word of God as we do week after week on this station. Lord, we thank you for opening this door to us 10 plus years ago. What a joy it has been all this time and will continue to be. And so, Lord, it's just a privilege. It's an honor to be able to talk about you and your word and to share how you change our lives on a daily basis. We just love to be here in your presence and expect great things today from you as we share the word of God with our audience around the globe. Always wonderful. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We are going to start with a Chris Tomlin song. That's kind of unusual, isn't it, girls? It is, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, very unusual. Right. Yeah, right.
Very, very unusual, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, yeah, right. Here we go. Sing, yeah. Sing, sing. Absolutely. That's what we want to do on this glorious Sunday afternoon. Woo! We just want to sing his praises. We just want to tell the whole world how amazing he is. And before we get into John 13, I'm going to give both of you an opportunity to do just that, to talk about how amazing he is and what he's doing in your life and what he's been doing. Nan, you're up first.
Oh, right. That's bad, huh?
Yeah.
You know, he's just, it is just so, it is just so awesome to be able to sing praises unto the name of the Lord.
Yes.
And to see him move in circumstances in our lives, and he's there with us through the good times, he's there with us through the bad times, he's always with us.
Ooh.
And that is just such a special, special thing. He's a special, special friend. You know, he's our Savior.
Amen.
He's our friend.
Amen.
With us at all times. While that song was playing, Pastor, I got a little poem, if I may read it.
You may.
Sing praises to my name. Your circumstances won't feel the same. I do love you so very much. Of your circumstances, I will touch. I gave my life for you. Now sing to me. You'll make it through. I inhabit the praise that you give. I love you. This truly believe. So sing to me right now. You'll receive my wonderful power. You will make it through this. Of these blessings, do not miss.
Whoa.
You know, and just, I mean, that was just, when he gave that one, it was just such a cool poem, because there may be people who, listening, and I'm sure are, that are having difficulties in their lives.
Yes.
Things are happening
yes.
in their lives, and they don't understand why things are happening in their lives. But they, in the midst of what's happening, they need to praise, which is just what that song was talking about. Praise the Lord for who he is.
Amen. Ooh, that was powerful, man, and I love that poem. You got to send me a copy of that, because that was a powerful word. Because God, as we do sing praises, you know, we can, all of us can sing to popular songs on the radio and things like that. But, you know, people that are in love with God and in love with Jesus learn to praise and sing to him songs that bless him. And that's one reason I wanted to start the show with that today, because we are in love with God. We love him from the bottom of our hearts, and we want to sing about that. Betty, talk to us. What would you like to share on that subject?
Well, I think one of the things that makes us all unique is how we were designed and how we were made in God's image. And one of the things that he does delight is in our praise. And when we begin to praise him, things start to change.
Right.
Sometimes our attitude changes. We get a new perspective of possibly the problems that are going on in our lives.
Exactly.
Because our Father wants to help us with the issues that we have, no matter how big or how small. And he's always there for us. And I think that's one of the greatest things that you can say is that if God be for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
And that's Amen.
Why you just so depend on the Lord for our help and our even in the good times and the bad. And that's where praise is so important, along with prayer, is that it does. It changes the atmosphere.
It certainly does. So let's, the three of us right now, just praise God right now. You guys talk. We can all talk at the same time. Praise God for what he's going to do on the show. Thank him for the hearts that will be touched. Praise him for the new day that we are in as we begin our 11th year on the air. Last Sunday was our 10th anniversary. And so we thank God and praise you, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts for what you are doing in our individual lives and in the lives of our listeners.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise God. We just give you all
praise
the glory and praise.
Yes,
woo!
Lord.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If any of you missed last Sunday's very special Resurrection Day 10th anniversary show with most of our team here in the studio, it is up on podcast on this network, tantalknetwork.com. Go to the podcast page and go to Living the Good Life, which is the name of this show, and you will find last week's show. And it's just a blessing to be able to share the word year after year, week after week. I don't know about the two of you, but it's one of the greatest blessings in my life to do this show on a weekly basis. You want to comment on that, Nan, and then we'll go to Betty for that. Just the blessing of doing this, spreading the word.
Well, you know, it is a blessing, and it's so cool to see how the anointing comes over the programs. And,
yes.
And, you know, for the people who are new to us, we don't script this out. We have
right.
nothing in the script. We kind of know the scripture that we're going to use. You pray about the songs, you pull the songs, it all comes together. And
right.
It's such a wonderful ministry that we have in being able to minister to people who can't come to our church, who are in other countries, who are in other states.
Right.
You know, but they get the word, the living word, through Living the Good Life radio station. It's a blessing for me to be on it.
That was beautiful. Yes. What about you, Betty? Indiana girl?
Yes. One of the greatest things that God has blessed me with is to be able to spread his word over the radio wave. And I have always wanted to be on the radio, to be able to talk about the Lord and what he's done for me and what he's going to do for others. It's just a blessing to be able to share and to talk about God's word and have so many different perspectives of like what the scriptures we talk about. Everybody has a different view about, you know, certain scriptures, certain verses. And it's just, and then the Lord, through the power of his Holy Spirit, ties it all together so that God gets all the glory.
That's exactly right. Yes, he does. He does get all the glory. And we're excited about what God's going to do today with this scripture that we're in John 13. You both were at Bible study last Wednesday night when we taught on this. We're going to expand on that. And we're also going to talk about just the importance of repentance today and what that means in our lives. We did our Facebook post last Wednesday night, as we usually do at 7:30 on Wednesday night. For any of you who have not started listening to our Facebook posts that we post weekly, you can go to Beacon of Hope Ministries, or you can go to my name, Marcia McAllister, and you'll find our posts. You can friend me, and I will, of course, accept your request, and we'll get you on there so you can listen live with us, or as so many hundreds of people do after the live post, you can listen anytime and share it on your Facebook page. The Facebook ministry began for us the second week of January of this year, and I got to say it's a huge blessing that we're doing this. Betty, I want to go to you for comments on that, because you're a big Facebook person and you love it, and I kind of surprised you when we went on Facebook for the first time, right? The second week of January.
Yeah, it was, you know, there are so many things that intrigue me on Facebook. And one of the things that intrigues me the most is that sometimes people overlook the more positive things on Facebook through social media.
Right.
And one of the things that I think is really getting through on Facebook is the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when you post those Facebook posts, it gives people the opportunity to learn something, the truth. It's not fake. Is that when you know, God's word sets you free. And when you're free indeed.
Amen.
And that's what is so important about these Facebook postings that you're doing, is that you're giving something positive.
Amen.
You're giving the word of God. And God's word, when it goes out, it doesn't come back void.
Amen.
And it just amazes me that, you know, the first time we had 800, the second time maybe 400. But I've noticed that the power of God's word draws people,
yes,
even weeks and months as
later.
Time goes by.
Yeah.
They're still doing them.
They're still out there, yeah.
They're still out there, and that's what people need, is they need that positive influence in their life. What can be more positive than Jesus Christ?
Oh, amen. And right now we've got probably about 12 posts out there, so check them out. This last week's one, we had some problems with buffering, but you can still hear it, even though the picture gets a little crazy a few times, but you can still hear everything being taught correctly. So go ahead and check them out. And Nan, what about you with Facebook? Has this been a blessing to you? And maybe you want to explain how we do this at Bible study and how important it is that these posts go out to the masses, even if they haven't been at Bible study?
Well, it is, I mean, it's very important. It's exciting to be there when it's set up and when you start and everything. You know, it is like the second part of our Bible study. You know, we
right.
have our Bible study, and then after that we have that, which is kind of a summation of what we have done. It's a great review for us who were there, but it's so important that the word gets out and that gets out to the people to be able to listen to it either live or in most cases after the fact. It's
right.
there. Like y'all were just saying, it's there.
It's there, so go and check them out. And yes, usually we've got somewhere between 200 and 500 people that are viewing them every week and continuing on. So check them out, and that's Marcia McAllister Posts or Beacon of Hope Ministries Posts. John chapter 13, just before the Passover feast. This was the night before Jesus went to the cross. The night before. That's why it's called the Last Supper. This is the event we're going to talk about tonight, today. Even though we talked about resurrection last week, I know it's a little backwards in some ways, but I feel it's extremely important to see what was on the mind of Jesus the night before he went to the cross. And it was this. Jesus knew that the time had come. So this was no surprise that he was going to go to the cross, to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. I love that. It just shows that God loved those disciples. It didn't matter how imperfect they were, as some were, because we all are somewhat imperfect, are we not? Obviously, we've all got issues. But it says he really loved his dear companions, and he continued to love them right to the end. It was supper time. The devil by now had Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, firmly in his grasp, all set for betrayal. So it was getting ready for the betrayal that would happen a few hours later. Verse 3 of John chapter 13, Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and was on his way back to God. I love that. Jesus knew where he came from. Jesus knew he was going back to the Father. Betty, you want to comment on that? I just think it's so cool that none of this was a surprise to Jesus. Even Judas in the betrayal, none of it was a surprise. He knew it all.
No, I think, and that's what God did for his son, was to prepare him.
Yes.
And I think it wasn't an element of surprise. It was an element of surprise for the disciples.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for Jesus.
Right.
Because Jesus communicated with God.
Right.
On a very regular basis.
Oh, absolutely.
With assuring him that it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. We're going to
right.
do this. We're going to do that. And everything that Jesus did was prophesied
right.
many, many years, hundreds of years ago.
Amen.
And all of that prophecy was coming true.
Yes.
Even up into the time that Jesus ascended into heaven.
Amen.
So, you know, God was telling Jesus, this has been prophesied. This is what has to be done. And again, it's reassurance of knowing that, you know, Jesus died. He did it for us.
Amen.
But again, God and Jesus all had this, they had this communication thing going on through prayer of, you know, and the Father was reassuring him that it was going to be okay.
Yeah, I think that's extremely important that we know that Jesus was not caught off guard by any of the events. And he knew that there would be a Last Supper, and God the Father put it in his heart what he wanted done at that Last Supper. I just think this is amazing, because when we get all caught up with anxiety and stress over what's going to happen to me, how is this going to happen? What is going to happen with this area of my life or this area of my life? God already knows. He already knows. I was driving to the station today, and I heard very strongly in my spirit, Philippians 4:6, and it says this about peace. And let me see if I can find it in the Message Bible, and maybe that will speak volumes. I think it does in the Message. I memorized it in the New American Standard. In the Message Bible, Philippians 4:6 says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness or peace. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of our lives. You know, Jesus was getting ready to, on this night before the crucifixion, go through a brutal punishment, which we talked about last week. Horrible beating, terrible beating. And the crucifixion itself, it was the most painful way to die. Jesus was getting ready to go through that, yet we do not see him stressing. He prayed. He sweated, you know, drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, God, if there's any way you can get me out of this, great. But then he also said, but not my will, but yours be done. And he went through it knowing that God the Father was going to be right there and help him through this and that he was fulfilling the plan. Talk to us about that, Nan. I mean, it's so important that Jesus followed the plan. And it's so important that we don't worry and we instead follow the plan that God has for our lives. Go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, Jesus set quite the example. I mean, he was facing some pretty rough stuff, and he knew that. He set the example talking to his Father. And that is an example that we need to follow. You know, we're in the midst of something happening in our lives. We're in the midst of a trial. You know, whatever circumstances, and many people listening are facing certain things at this time, they could just go to the Father and just pray to the Father just like Jesus did, you know. And in that prayer, you know, you receive comfort. You know, you receive his peace moving into you so that you can better deal with whatever is going on. And he will move in the situation
Amen.
In our lives.
Amen.
He will move in those situations. We just need to trust him. And I say just trust him. That just is tough sometimes to trust God in the situations when you look at them through human's eyes. But if we look up through God's eyes, he's in control.
Absolutely. Betty, talk to us about that. Because God had, the Father had all this planned out, yet it's the night before the big event. And you see Jesus continuing to follow exactly God's plan. You want to talk on that?
Sure. I think that Jesus knew exactly what the Father wanted him to do. And I think that he tried to reassure the disciples, no matter how arrogant or how displaced that they seemed to be, no matter how the worry that they had, is that he tried on many occasions to say, hey, you know, I'm going to leave you, but I will be sending someone back.
Amen.
My place to comfort you, to give you peace. Because it's hard to understand when someone tells you that they're going to be crucified, they're going to be laid in a tomb and then to be raised 3 days later. And being on the human side of that aspect is that the worry, the anguish, the tension that was there is like, what does he mean? You know, why is he saying this?
Right.
What's going to happen? But again, fulfilling prophecy, doing exactly what the Father wants him to do. And I think it's an example for us is that God wants us to follow his plan for our lives.
Amen.
And by doing so, our lives can be so much, have so much less turmoil, so much less stress. The roads don't seem to be as bumpy. If they get bumpy, God's the shock absorber for those
I like that.
Times. He helps to the hurt or the grief or the sorrow or the anger or whatever it is he's that buffer. He's that
Amen.
Shock absorber for us and helps us to get through. And that's what I believe that the Lord was trying to do through Jesus to help the disciples to understand that, you know, I'm here.
Yes.
I'm going to be gone.
Yes.
But I'm going to be coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, and then through all of that, you know, the anger and all of the things that, you know, our human mind goes through when we know that something's in the works, but we just aren't sure what's going to happen.
Right.
Is that we have to depend on the Lord, just like Jesus depended on his Heavenly Father.
So true, which leads us into this song perfectly. Let the peace of God reign by the group Hillsong. I love it. Let it speak to your heart. I believe it will right now. Let God bring peace to your turmoil, whatever it might be.
Father of life, draw me closer.
Amen.
Lord, my heart is set on you. Let me run the race of time with your life enfolding mine, and let the peace of God let it rain. Oh, Holy Spirit, oh, my comfort, strengthen me, hold my
God, that song speaks to my heart so much. That's our prayer for you today, dear audience. Let the peace of God just well up within you as we talk about the scripture and enjoy some music that's so anointed of God today. We're in John 13 if you're just now joining us. Yes, go ahead.
I have a poem.
Go ahead, Nan.
I will bring peace to you. These circumstances, you'll make it through. I will give you the power that you need. Trust these words I speak, indeed. You don't really see the plan, but trust me, all things are in my hands. So what will you do, little one? You can depend, just like my son. Hunger for more of me in your life. You will be okay. You'll make it through your strife.
I love that one, too. Send that one to me, too. And then if any of our audience wants some copies, they can just write me, pastor at BOHM Global, BOHMGlobal.com, and I'll send it to them. That really speaks really volumes, because God is saying to us already through this show peace is where it's about. You know, just trust that the plan that God has for each of us is the perfect plan for our lives, and we've got to quit stressing and being full of anxiety. Let's talk about John 13, verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God, was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table. He did something very unusual that we do not have any other time recorded in Scripture that he did this. He set aside his robe, his outer garment, and he put on an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples one by one, drying them with his apron. When he got to Simon Peter, Peter said, "Master, you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will be clear enough to you later." Peter persisted, "You're not going to wash my feet ever." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing." And I love Peter's response in John 13, verse 9. "Master," said Peter, "not only my feet then, wash my hands, wash my head." In other words, wash all of me. Betty, talk to us about this.
Well, I know when we when you talked about this last Wednesday, just to reiterate, is that this was the Lord's last, I don't want to call it a thing, but this is the last wonderful thing that the Lord was doing for his disciples.
Right.
Is that it was showing steward, it was showing how to be, to give and not receive.
Right.
It's showing how much that Jesus loved these men and women, especially the last time he would be able to have any companion, or not companionship, but to be able to do something for them that they would never forget.
Right.
I mean, if the Lord wanted to wash my feet, I would just be in awe of having him to be able to do that and show the sacrifice that he was willing to do. And I think a lot of times once you do that, it's such a humbling experience that he,
exactly.
That I think a lot of them felt. There was some arrogance with Peter, but you know, it was still something that Jesus wanted to do.
Right.
As the last time for his disciples. And I mean, the first time I ever read this scripture, it just sent chills down my spine that, you know, Jesus was one of us.
Right.
Okay. He was human.
He was human.
And he had that heart. He had a heart after God, and he wanted to do something that would resonate with them for the rest of their lives. I mean, it was just something that you could never forget.
Well, I agree with all of that. And I also think that this was a moment of decision for Peter and the rest of them that, you know, do they really want God to do a job of cleaning them up, you know? Because it was symbolic. This act of washing their feet was, yes, a symbol of being a servant and humbling and all of that. But it was also a statement of, dear ones, do you want God to really wash you? Do you want this? Because I believe that's the question of the hour. Do we want God to come into our lives and change us and wash us? Or are we content with our same old anxieties and stresses and fears and hurts and disappointments? Talk to me about this, Nan, because I see this as a picture, really, of what God wanted to do in their lives and also in ours.
Well, just like any gift that we receive, we have to receive it. And
good point.
Some people don't feel that they are deserving of that. And it has nothing to do with our own, of ourselves, of to receive that. It has to do with who he is.
Right.
And, we need to receive, you know, just like Peter was, he didn't quite quite understand the whole symbolism of what was happening.
Right.
But then he went, well, I want all of it, you know, and
right.
I think that we need to want all of it, you know.
Woo!
And what those things in our lives, we need to have all of it.
Yes.
And we need to desire all of it. And we can receive all of it if by our own choosing. It's there.
But it is up to us, isn't it? I mean, it's our decision. And I mean, Jesus went one by one to the disciples to wash their feet. You see, Peter is the one who goes, oh, no, you can't do that, because he recognized Jesus as the Son of God. He's the first person that declared, you're the Son of God. And it's like he felt like, oh, my heavens, you can't do that. I'm just a lowly person here. But Jesus gives value to every single one of us and says every one of us count. Every one of us are important to the kingdom of God. Talk to me about that, Betty, because I think that's huge right here. All of us are important, every one of us.
Oh, yes. I think that's one of the things that Jesus, throughout the word, throughout his walk here on this earth, was to show people that we have to love one another. And love conquers all. And
amen.
His love endures forever. And it doesn't matter whether we're black or white, red, yellow, or whatever, is that Jesus loves us all the same. We were all created in his image. And he loves us all the same. There's,
right.
He doesn't love me any more than he loves you, Pastor Martha.
Right, right.
Or Nan, or Megan that's coming on here in a few minutes. Is that we're all the same. It's,
right.
It's so miraculous, is that it's so simplistic to be able to accept Jesus' love as easy as it is opening a door. I mean, it's a choice. You can either walk through it or you don't have to. He gives you that choice. He gives you a free will to accept him. And I think that that's the important thing that we are learning over the next few months, weeks, and years to come, is that all of the trouble and all the things that we see will all pass away. Jesus is forever. He's not a thing that comes and goes, you know, like a shampoo or whatever. That's a very poor example. But his love abounds forever.
Forever.
He is alive forever.
He is.
We will live with him again in heaven forever.
Amen.
So, he's just not a passing thought.
No.
He's a forever God. And
forever.
Forever.
Woo! Nan, your thoughts on this?
Well, it's just a forever thing. And that's what is, sometimes we can't fathom that, you know, forever. I mean, we're so into time. You know, I'm into time. I like time, you know, and what time I'm doing things. And I project and I make plans with a friend 3 days from now, and that's the time that I'm doing it. And we're so governed by time, just
right.
The way that we are and the way that we're made up, that
right.
It's sometimes hard to fathom forever. But it's really forever.
It is.
Know?
It is.
Just throw the clock out the window, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I want to take us back to Isaiah chapter 1, I believe it is. It is, Isaiah 1. And I want to go down to verse 16. Nope. 18. And I'm in the Message Bible, and this was written through the pen of Isaiah, who was one of the prophets, very important prophet in the Old Testament, also the prophet that God used to declare all the things about the coming Messiah, that he would die and he would carry our sins in his body on the cross, etc. He would, the part of the Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 was the prophecy that the Messiah would come through a virgin, be born of a virgin, would call his name Emmanuel, God with us. All of that happened. Isaiah is an amazing book. There's so much great stuff in there. But when we start in chapter 1 and we look at verse 18, it's very interesting. This is what God says. Come, sit down. Let's argue this out. I love that, because God loves to discuss with us. He loves for us to sit down with him and say, okay, God, I want to talk to you about this. I've gotten in a habit now of doing this more and more, where I'm just out loud, driving or sitting at my desk, just say, like, as if God was right there in the room. Because, of course, he is. I cannot see him physically, but I can certainly feel him. And so I do this quite regularly now. God, let me talk to you about this, you know? And so Isaiah says, God said this, come sit down, let's argue this out. In other words, God wants us to have that kind of relationship with him. And he says, this is God's message. If your sins are blood red, they'll be snow white. We used the hashtag whiter than snow last week for this post, this most recent Facebook post, hashtag whiter than snow on Facebook, if you want to go catch it that way. If your sins are blood red, they'll be as white as snow. And what's so interesting about that is that there was a deep dye, a color, like a stain, from a small worm that was found on the leaves of oak trees back in Mediterranean countries. And if that dye got on your skin or if it got on your clothes, it was very hard to get out. And it's interesting that that dye was red. It was scarlet, okay? And it reminds us of the blood of Jesus. And in one of the translations, it says right here, if one's sins have been double dipped in the deep dye of scarlet color of the coccus worm, that was the name of it, they have a fixed permanence, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us. They'll be like wool. The blood of Jesus comes in and takes that stain away. We know 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what Isaiah is saying here is that, yes, our sins will be like bright red. They're so intense and they look like they're permanent stains in our lives. But God is saying through the prophet Isaiah, but guess what? God can make you snow white. He can cleanse you and take away the stain, no matter how deep and how permanent it appears to be. Talk to me about that, Nan, and then we'll go to Betty.
Well, you know, sometimes it's hard. They're getting back to the same thing I was kind of saying. It's hard to believe sometimes that things can happen like that in our lives. But his word is true.
And, amen.
You know, to know that my sins can become white as snow is pretty exciting.
Woo!
You know? And, I mean, it's like almost overwhelming of the reality of thinking of that, you know.
Yes.
And some people might be thinking, yeah, but you don't know what I have done.
Right.
Really, well, God knows what you have done, and he says your sins are going to be as white as snow. Therefore,
ooh,
you
yes.
can take him at his word, ask forgiveness of those sins, whatever's happening, whatever you've done, and you become white as snow.
Amen.
I mean, it's available for all of us, regardless of what we have done in our life. Period.
Amen. You said it very well. Betty, talk to us about that. Woo!
Well, you know, when we talk about our sins, is that once we repent, once that we ask for forgiveness, it's almost like turning a page.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you see a lot of blurred words of, you know, meaning or representing our sin. And it just seems like that once we ask, just call on the name of Jesus, that
amen.
there's an eraser
yes,
that goes
yes.
across that page.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey, okay, Betty, I know that you did that, but you've asked for forgiveness.
Amen.
It's no longer a part of you. And then the next section, but God, you don't understand. I did this and I did that. He goes, I know you did, but I love you, and my blood covers that.
Amen.
No matter how deep the sin, no matter what you've done, no matter what it is, it's that eraser, the blood of Jesus, just takes that page and he makes it white as snow.
Ugh,
and even though
yes.
the page, you may seem that the page is gray, that once the blood of Jesus or the cleansing comes through, that page becomes white. It's a white linen, and white linen is so white and it's so pure and it's so clean that once we close, you know, once we turn the next page, it's like, oh, wait a minute, where'd that where'd that go? He goes, I forgive you.
Amen.
It is no more. It is no more.
Oh, you're right on. And this is why Jesus had to wash their feet and show them that they needed to be cleansed. And why Peter said first, oh, no, you can't do that. And then he realized what Jesus was saying. He says, oh, yeah, wash me, wash me, wash me. Listen to this song by Hillsong. It is From the Inside Out, and I think it's perfect for right now.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine well. Consume me from inside out. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from inside
Inside out. Cleanse us, Lord. From the inside out. Wow. Says it all right there. Amen.
Pastor?
Yes.
I have a poem.
Go ahead.
I turn my circumstances to you. I will trust what you will do. I love you with all of my heart. Of this new journey I will start. I trust you for all of this. Of your blessings I will not miss. Fill me with all the special things. To you, praise is what I bring.
Mm.
And I wanted to say something, if I could, when we were talking.
Please go ahead.
About trusting God. I'm sitting here, as you know, I'm calling into the show today. And so I'm sitting here, and I happen to look over at my beautiful basset hound, Jackson, who is soundly asleep on the couch, rolling over every once in a while and enjoying himself.
Right.
And what I thought of is I take him outside. And every time I bring him back inside, I have a little treat for him. He walks inside, he stops, he sits, he looks at me. He knows I'm going to give him a treat. I'll name whatever I'm going to give him. I give it to him. And no, he's not by any chance overweight. He's just where he should be. So he's not overweight, so this is not causing him any problems. But he knows that after we come in, he gets a treat. And he knows if I say we're going to go for a ride in the car, he's on it. He's ready. He goes to the door. He wants to go for a ride in the car because he knows he can trust me.
Right.
And, I mean, they're smart little beings, you know.
Right, they
he
are.
He knows key words.
Right.
And I use very simple key words with him so that he knows what is going to happen.
Right.
And just as I do with him, so does our Heavenly Father
yes.
do with us.
Yes.
Trust. We can trust him to make our sins white as snow.
Amen.
Because he says he will. We can trust. And
yes.
that's what we need to do. And I'm wanting to give that analogy. So
that's
people
good.
To think back on that. Of trust, that we can trust what the Word of God tells us is available to us.
Amen. That's perfect. I'm so glad you said all that. And it does bring us right back to 1 John 1:9, along with Isaiah 1:18 or 19. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. That's the big word right there, from all unrighteousness, just like he said to Peter. And Peter said, then wash me, wash my head, wash all of me. I want everything you have for me. He is faithful to cleanse us. And in Isaiah 1:19, if you're willing and obey, you will eat the best of the land. And so if we are willing and obey, we will have countless blessings that God has in store for us. We're going to talk more about all this in our second hour. We're so glad you're joining us today, whether live or later on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. This show is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, StarcomRadioNetwork.com, and also podcast here after the show. It'll be up on the TantalkNetwork.com podcast page on Living the Good Life. And then at the end of each month, our webmaster puts them on our website, BOHMGlobal.com. Wow. Betty, I want you to mention the prayer team real quick before we get it to the top of the hour and do station ID, and then we'll talk more about all this that we're talking about today.
Well, one of the things that we get to do and love to do, pray.
Yes.
Is communication with the Lord. And going before the throne and bringing the request is that if you send us a request, we attach a prayer and we send it out to the prayer team of Beacon of Hope. We would love for you to join us, to join our team. If you have a prayer request or would like to join the team, just send us a small request. It doesn't have to be too lengthy, but just say, hey, I would love to join your prayer team. Please add me to your prayer list. If you have a prayer, no matter how big or how small it is, the Lord will hear that prayer. And we ask that if you have that request or you want to join the prayer team, send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com. And we will respond back to you. Either myself, Pastor Jim, or Shell will say, hey, we've added you. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. And then help that we can also add one more person to the prayer team.
Amen.
And also take those prayers to the Lord where two or three are gathered in his name. There he is in the midst of them.
Amen. And last week while you and your daughter Megan were here visiting, we were able to have a Saturday night prayer meeting that was just amazing. 3 hours of worship and taking requests before the throne of God. And what you did, Betty, was so amazing. You put on Facebook an invitation for anybody that had a prayer request to send it in so that we could pray during our 6 o'clock Saturday night prayer meeting. We had 45 requests that came in that day that we prayed over. And Nan, you were there. Betty, you were there. Megan, Pastor Jim, several of us were there. Becky, there was a lot of us there. And we prayed, and I tell you, the 3 hours flew by as we took all those requests before the throne of God. And we're going to be doing that again soon, and we'll probably be doing it by Skype or something like that. But it was such a powerful prayer meeting that we have to do them regularly. Betty, you want to comment on that before we go to station ID?
Well, I think that when you're in agreement, when
is this the prayer line?
Two or three are gathered, the Lord is there with us. And the Holy Spirit was so strong during those prayer requests. Some of them, you know, it was just, it's mind-boggling what the family of God and what the prayers of God's people can do for things where you think it's so small, or if it's a big thing, like, you know, struggling